Dude, hurry up.
What are we doing?
We're doing a new show.
We are? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
How are you, man?
I'm fantastic.
You look good. You know, it's funny. You look like a Russian gangster today because you're wearing a windbreaker.
Thank you.
There she is.
There she is. Oh, gosh. We are so lucky. We'll talk more about your gangster look in a second.
Sure.
But we're so, so very lucky to have the amazing, wondrous, lovely Finola Hughes with us today.
Oh, that's a nice lead-in.
Goodness. And we ambushed her in the hallway, which was not cool.
We totally did.
But I went with it.
I know. You're awesome.
Such a good sport.
You're amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. We Finola, you may know I don't live here anymore. Like, I commute.
Where, on planet Earth?
I don't think I ever was a resident.
Ever.
But I come down for these days from Sacramento, and, you know, Steve and I try to have as good of a plan as we can have, but then we come in here and we're like, oh, let's do some podcasts today.
Who's here?
Who we get?
Who we get?
And we saw the sheet and we're like, Finola's done in two scenes. Okay, how do we approach her without, well, I mean, we know we couldn't possibly.
Yeah, but
scare
I'm
her.
Locked in because I've got scenes later on in the day, so I'm not going anywhere.
You're not.
True.
So
true.
You had me, you know, at hello.
Right. I mean, what else could you do? Well, I mean, really?
Well, I have a life. I mean, I could do other things. You know?
What would you rather be doing than sitting with Bradford Anderson?
Come on.
Know,
I mean, it's either being here with us or getting like a tuna melt at the commissary.
Well, and I've already done that.
Perfect.
I did that this morning.
Check.
So first of all, I have to start out by saying that I'm a huge fan.
Oh, likewise, Steve.
Of yours.
You do look like a Russian gangster. And
it was amazing the time that we got to work together.
Is that over?
I don't know. Well, I'm acting like it is because I haven't seen you for months on the show.
I know.
So we had a good little run. I don't know what it was, a couple weeks or 4 or 5 weeks, but she is so amazing to work with.
You are like, so amazing
like
to work with.
It's you know, she's one of the actresses who likes to run lines a lot.
That's nice.
Like we couldn't.
Oh, she's a professional.
We couldn't run it enough. Like it was
that.
Amazing.
I love that.
And it was just so fun to work with you. And you know,
well,
I think they missed the boat with us. But whatever.
That ship has sailed. To you know.
Hey.
I guess. I mean, I see you in the distance.
Give
the
some
horizon,
guys some hope.
She sailing off.
I know you're with Finn right now.
She went.
But just
she went with the guy with
hope.
Good hair.
She did with better hair.
Better hair.
You both have excellent hair.
He does. He beats me in the hair department.
Right.
And he always has.
Well, it moves.
It flows.
His does. Mine does not.
It's flowing.
Your hair does not move.
Michael Easton has always had amazing hair.
It does flop. His hair flops over his eye. And it's
like
definitely.
That?
Yeah, it's like a flop. And
yeah, you like that.
Have you ever had the opportunity, like in an intimate moment in the story, I'm saying, to brush the hair aside his face?
Would I miss that opportunity?
No, she would not.
I'm a professional.
And she will milk that opportunity.
Several times.
That's awesome.
Well, it's funny. Did you like push it behind his ear?
No, it wasn't quite long enough. I just brushed
you're so
it.
Stupid.
Well, because
what's wrong with you?
Because that's
you have Finola Hughes here, and you're asking her, do you brush the hair behind the? Can you ask her something that has meaning, please?
Okay. I think it has meaning.
Right?
It has,
well,
it's got legs.
Zero meaning. There's something about that makes it kind of too feminine. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
no, we didn't go there.
Yeah.
Maxie,
it wasn't the moment to do that.
Did Maxie brush your hair, put your hair behind your ears?
Oh, there was no help in my hair at any point.
You've always had
keep
always
the
had
beanie
short
on.
Hair, right?
Keep
on
the
show.
Ish. Well, when I mean, not long hair like Mr. Easton. I had, when I first came on the show, I cut my hair myself. Like Bradford.
That's always a good move.
Bradford did. I would take it in four places and just like, I would like grab.
How did that work for you?
Got me the job.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
Nobody can.
So anyway, the hair department touched, like when I first got here, the hair department like tried to do my hair one day and then upstairs were like, what happened?
Oh.
And so since then, the hair department has never,
oh,
I've never sat in the, I've sat in the hair chair here.
So is that mad, locked in the basement kind of, I'm on computers all day look?
Yeah.
Got it.
And it has evolved, but not because of anybody. I've, whatever.
Right.
Enough about
probably
my
your
hair.
Wife.
Yeah, enough about your hair.
Enough about
yeah,
my hair.
That
I'm jumping,
took up a lot of
I'm
time.
I'm jumping too much time. Thank God we're going to cut the whole thing.
Yes, it's true.
So I'm jumping right into this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know you've done so many things. Staying Alive.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, come on. First of all, did you see it, Bradford?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's too funny.
What do you mean that's funny?
No,
you
got
to
no,
understand. Like, I would come out to California every summer to visit my dad, and all we would do is see movies.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, we would go see 3-4 movies. You know, when like 50 movies came out on a Friday, we would just go see movies all day, and Staying Alive was one of them. Mm. And because I love John Travolta, and Stallone directed it.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, how?
Yeah.
What? Mm. How cool was that? I mean, how?
It was
what?
Really
just,
cool.
Just like, was that a regular audition? Because I know you've danced your whole life.
Yeah.
But how did that come about?
Well, I was in London, and I was on the stage in London at the time, and just a casting director I knew said, "Would you come in and read this part?" So I went in and just read, you know, and they said it's for a dancer, and so then like probably a week later they said they're going to fly you out to Hollywood to audition, and I remember getting in the car at the airport. When I landed here in L.A., and the driver's name was Lynn, L-Y-N-N, and he was just a lovely man. He ended up being my driver when I did get the part. And I remember just looking at all the sort of – I'd never been to Hollywood, obviously, before – and just all the – how everything is one level in L.A.,
yeah,
you know, because I came from London. And,
right.
You know, we've been building shit since
right,
forever.
For, yeah. You don't have to look up for anything
No,
in L.A.
No, right, yeah. No, you know. Yeah. Well, now it's still different.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
It is a bit more built up. But, you know, in England, we've got all these massive brick buildings, and there aren't any here. So I remember as we were driving along, and I was thinking, this is really exciting. And then I turned to Lynn, and I said, do they fly people out for auditions a lot? And he was like, all the time. I was like,
That's horrible.
Wah, wah. There goes that.
You're the first.
Yes.
You're the very first.
Never happened before.
So I'd love to go. I want to
hold
hear,
on, dude. I want to hear
okay.
the rest of the story.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Oh, so, there's more.
Yeah, because you auditioned for it. So was it a reading or was it a was
yeah? It
dancing?
Was no. It was a full. It was everything.
It was like
in the morning. I went in and I was somewhere in Hollywood in a hotel and I remember looking out the window of this hotel, and right down on the street was a theater. And Rambo was playing.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, oh. And I'd never heard of Sylvester Stallone before because, you know, I lived in London.
Yeah.
And I was listening to The Cars and punk and, you know, I didn't know any of this. And so the next day I went and learned a routine and I had a leopard print leotard on.
Yes.
And so I, you know, did the routine and then I had to do a scene with John. And he was lovely. And so, such a gentleman and just the greatest person.
I've heard nothing but amazing things about him.
He was the kindest person in the world to me.
Wow.
He was just so great. So, and then I got, and so then Sylvester Stallone was there for the audition. And I don't remember, it was on a soundstage. I mean, it was really, you know,
like
1950s kind of, here we go.
Yeah.
Right.
And, except it wasn't the 1950s.
No.
I want to make sure you know.
Not at all. No,
but that's kind of old Hollywood. That's how
it was
auditions
old Hollywood,
happen.
Yeah.
You come in, you rehearsed, and you're with the leading
and
guy.
It was on a soundstage.
And the director's there. And,
yeah. And it was like there was a. It was almost like a dressing table, because the audition sort of took place in the dressing table. And Sly said, "Yeah, I think we'd like you to do this." And I went
right there.
Yeah.
Dude.
And I said, "Oh, okay." And then Sly looked at me and he said, is that it? And I was like, and I was thinking, I'm English, you know, we're pretty reserved. And so I was like, oh, thank you.
That's awesome. So that was it. You came out for the audition and then you got that. And then you guys shot that in Hollywood, the whole thing?
Or? Yeah. So we went to New York
at the end of
the movie, yes. And it was 6 weeks rehearsal before we even, you know, started.
Was it all rehearsal, dance, and acting, everything?
I can't remember if we did. I probably should have done a bit more rehearsal of the acting part.
You were fine.
But the dancing, for sure, we did rehearse, yeah.
Wow. So did that just change everything?
Mm, yeah.
Once that came out? And
yeah, yeah. But I wasn't ready for it. I was completely neurotic and scared. It was very scary. Which is the—
because it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. But you know, it was just so fantastic. It was just wonderful.
So you went from London, right?
Yeah.
And then you moved, and then you came to audition. Mm. Did you have time to go home?
Oh no, I went home because, you know, it was a year before the movie came out after we shot it.
Oh, probably. Okay. So yeah. All right.
Or, yeah, something like
and
that.
And then when did you move here to—
I moved like probably a year later.
Yeah. Okay.
And my boyfriend at the time got a role on Broadway, so we moved to New York and then, you know, came back and forth. And then finally we both got jobs out here. So, wow. But I knew I wanted to do something where I could be in a family, like where I could be, you know, I could get to know people and learn my craft a little more rather than just spotty bits and pieces here and there. And so when GH came along, and I was so excited to do that. I really wanted that.
So I don't want to name dates, but Stayin' Alive was in 1983.
Mm.
And when did you—
like 84, 85.
Wow. Okay, so pretty close after that.
Like a year. Like, yeah, yeah.
And GH was a huge deal at that time.
Yeah.
Like, that was humongous.
Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend was on a soap, too, a different one.
So did you come out and just start auditioning?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Then, I would come back and forth. There was creaky chair.
Creaky chair.
Yeah, I just was doing that. And, you know, it was a different time. There were less people out here. And it was, you know, I got a speeding ticket on Santa Monica Boulevard, if you can believe it. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like Santa Monica right there in Midtown. And I got a speeding ticket. You can't even move on that.
Right, you can't go fast enough to get a speeding ticket there.
Exactly, that's my point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I got a speeding ticket there.
That's crazy.
Coming to work one day.
Wow.
So did you have to audition for General Hospital?
Yes.
You did.
I did.
So that, did you, who
I borrowed someone's dress and some pearls because I didn't have anything. And I was sleeping on someone's couch because my boyfriend was back in New York. And, I was sleeping on this wonderful girl who I'm still friends with, who was actually the assistant casting director on Staying Alive, and we've remained friends for a gazillion years. And she lent me her blue dress with padded shoulders and a pearl necklace.
Wow.
And that's how I came into the audition.
And did you audition? Who was it? Who was the casting director then?
It was Marvin.
Yes.
Page.
Marvin Page, yes. And so you read for him first? Or did the pro- or was it him or was it producers or do you remember Gloria at some point?
Oh gosh, yeah, Gloria.
Yeah.
I can't remember the but I do remember the it was we were over at Sunset Gower and it was an audition where I was at a bar and there was one of those telephones, like the old fashioned the rotary telephone because you know we're going right. back a bit here.
Sure.
And I remember just thinking that I wanted it to be emotional, even though it didn't call for it. But I was like, you only get this chance once. So I was like, I'm gonna juggle as well. I'm gonna bring out everything.
All
I'm gonna
the
bring
stars,
it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was reading with somebody who wasn't an actor on the show, and then I went over to and I was supposed to dial somebody because I was a spy, right? And then I'm supposed to sort of say, you know, wah wah, wah you know, talking to whoever, the Russians, and maybe. And so I thought, as I dialed my father's phone number, who was back in London.
Wow, look at you putting that all.
Yeah. So I became really emotional. So what I was doing was selling somebody down the line, which is basically going to be Robert Scorpio. So I was selling. I'm selling my own people. So I thought it would be good if, like, I could show that maybe it cost the character something to sell her own
people.
Wow,
yeah.
So I got all sort of emotional.
Did they say that's way too many numbers? For no
dial it back.
Wait, no, we only have seven numbers here. Yeah, that's like
plus, your dad
plus
was
four,
here.
Four. No.
Oh, plus four. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
There's no country code needed.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Amazing. How big was your hair?
It was enormous.
Enormous.
We love actually, high, no, we love I high didn't, hair on the show.
I only got high hair when I actually came into the show.
Oh, and
I only got spangles and sequins and high hair when I walked on the lot. Prior to that, I had like, you know, dyed. I was like a punk. I mean, I had this dyed long hair. In fact, Sylvester Stallone was the one who dyed my hair first. He was like, you know, you look too much like brother and sister.
He did it actually himself?
Well, he sat in the room while it was being done.
Dude, that guy's a perfectionist.
He was a perfectionist, yeah, for 4 hours.
Wow.
He stayed in the salon with me.
Wow. That's
I like amazing. To think it was more a control thing.
Sure.
Like he wanted to make sure.
Sure.
Because I didn't really want it, so. But right. Yeah, so he liked that. But anyway, and then when I was, I don't, can't remember, like it was all about hair. Yeah. Hair and eyeshadow. Yeah.
That, the 80s were about hair and eyeshadow?
That was it. Yeah, hair, eyeshadow, a lip gloss, the roller lip gloss. You wouldn't know anything about that. But
oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
We both wear them because of our daughters.
Yeah. Oh, right. Bubble gum.
Strawberry shortcake. Oh,
delicious.
Or something.
So when you, I kind of want to hear about your London, like, how this found you.
You would love it. It's all like West End. I mean, I was in the West End.
Yeah, yeah. And so you were, did you always know you wanted to be an actress, or was it dancing that got you on stage?
Dancing got me on stage.
Okay.
And then I worked with Trevor Nunn from the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Oh, yeah.
And it was while we were doing Cats. And he gave each cat 3 words to work with. But he didn't want anyone to know what the words were.
Yeah.
So he invited each of us up, and he had them all, like, I don't know, they were all sort of sequestered in his head somehow. He had, you know, he had planned out the whole thing. And he gave me my 3 words. Don't ask me what they were now. I can't remember. And I think purity was
hair,
one
lip
of them.
Gloss.
Hair, lip gloss. No, it was prior. It was before all that. I was in combat boots, secondhand dresses, and big sweaters.
You were super punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he whispered these 3 words in my ear, and in my mind, something snapped. I just thought, oh, that's what acting's about. This is acting.
Yeah.
And I'd already been, like, I'd been a dancer for a long time, been in a ballet company and this and that. But I always knew that there was something that connected me to dance, which wasn't just dance. It was the thought. And so I was like, oh, that's the thought process of acting.
Sure.
So then I was just, oh, I need to pursue that more. And so I, you know, just started to. And I'd been to a theater school, so I had been acting since I was young.
Oh, I see. Okay. A performing arts primary school of sorts?
Mm-hmm. Since I was 10, yeah. So I had no education at all. Zero.
It's paid off immensely.
Because I can't think about anything.
So kids, you don't need school.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, that's not true.
Because no, I know.
You need higher learning. This is what I'm discovering in my, you know, as I get older. I'm like, oh, that higher learning stuff, that kind of works. Like, you got, you know. You don't think so?
No, nah, I'm on the fence.
You are? I think that you could learn
to
trade.
So.
You didn't either?
No.
No, me either.
No.
I just went straight.
Plenty of books that we can read and podcasts we can listen to.
Podcasts are really interesting.
They are.
I listen to podcasts every single day.
It's the best.
Like, I'm fascinated by
them. We have one we can recommend.
Oh, what's that then? And where do you get it? Where you get it? Anywhere you get your podcasts.
No, it's funny. I wonder if any of our guests have listened to their own episodes.
I haven't.
You're on every week, though.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, we listen to the first
Steve.
One.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I might suggest you watch General Hospital and listen to your podcast, which I do.
So why? What is that about, Harley? What do you think? I mean, because I believe in trade schools, too. I think those are fantastic. But why are you on the fence?
Because you have children.
They're going to be.
Obviously, you can't, you know, argue with going to school. I mean, you can't really argue with it because you're going to learn and you hopefully maybe get a direction. But a lot of successful guys that I know, school wasn't the answer. And it was really figuring out what your passion was in life and going for that.
No, I agree with and that.
And failing too. And getting knocked down and getting back up and continuing forward.
Mm.
If you have that personality, that's great. If you think, hey, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to go do my time and be a doctor, then that's great too. If that's your passion, but
yeah.
I don't know if you need it. And so many people I know are saddled with debt also. And I think you're kind of in this, you know, a man's brain doesn't even form until he's 25.
24, yeah.
So 24, 25.
Some of us are still waiting.
I am. So I don't know.
It's just the man's brain.
Clearly. The women are way more advanced than we are. So I just don't know if, you know, 4 years of college when you're 18 is the most beneficial.
And I do feel like, because when I think about 18, and those were like for a dancer, obviously,
sure,
for an athlete, those are prime years. You have to be in something. And so, you know, as I look at my athlete son,
of course.
And I'm like,
has to be.
I don't know what he's going to do if he'll play at college or
soccer. He plays, right?
Plays soccer.
Well, but the collegiate soccer is not, you know, for a lot of sports in our country, college is one of the stepping stones. But for soccer, it's not really, right?
It can be.
It can be. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how old is he now?
It's changing. If you're in a Division I school, you know, I think.
I see.
It's changing.
Yeah. Well, because I mean,
he's 18. Yeah.
In Europe, though, it's not necessarily.
Yeah. No,
they get signed when they're 13,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they get signed to go into an academy.
Right.
Which he did get signed, but then he didn't feel the education. Because he's hedging. Because it's like you need an education. And he didn't feel that he was going to get an education.
I see. Yeah. And I think, you know, like for my son, he's a very smart kid. And I feel that he needs education. And I think he'll pursue that because he likes math and engineering. And
there you go.
You know, so he's going to do that.
He has to get that higher
level. He has to.
Yeah.
He has to.
Well, if you're an 18-year-old kid and you don't have a passion for something yet, for me, I came from a small town. And the next step in my development as a human being was to move somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
And to move somewhere in a protected environment where I was learning, meeting new people. And I did have a passion. I went for theater, so like I knew what I was doing. But if I had just tried to move from New Hampshire to L.A. or just – I ended up moving to New York, but it was for college. If I just moved to New York, I would have been so lost.
Sure. Right, at 18.
At 18. Sure. So,
Where was your small town?
Meredith, New Hampshire, about 2,500 people in the lakes and mountains of New Hampshire. And I don't know how I would have transitioned into adulthood without it.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that perspective.
You know? Versus higher learning versus just the experience of college.
Sure.
Right?
I grew up in London. So, you know, you sort of become an adult by the time you're 5.
Yeah, you grow up pretty early. Yeah, yeah.
It's like if you grow up in New York.
But do you feel that now that because there was such an emphasis on a college education that you had to have a degree, that you had to do this to get to the, you know, to make your
right,
to have a higher salary. Is it that prevalent now as it was?
It depends. It depends on what you want to do. And
but you have a master's now in theater or something, right?
BFA.
BFA. You could do whatever you want.
My wife has a BFA from NYU and she's pursuing a master's now. So when she teaches, she'll have a higher,
that
just gets you, start you off better in the educational world by having a master's. I think about, I just think about the kids that I see coming up through college now, are coming up through high school now. Gosh, I hope they go to college just to have those years of learning about themselves and being able to learn about the world.
Do you learn about yourselves? I mean,
in college,
I don't know because I never went because mine was trial by fire.
Well, but when did you? I need to ask about cats. I'm so sorry. When was that for you? Was that like soon, like really early on for you? Hmm. Was that your first job?
No. I started working at 11.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Professionally, you were being paid to work at 11
mm-hmm.
in dance companies.
TV. Yeah.
And so. What was that? What was growing up in London as a working actor kid like? What was that like?
Well, my mother wouldn't let me do more than 2 jobs a year. So she was really strict. Even though it was a theater school and there were people working all the time at the school, she was different like that. She was like, you can just do one or 2 jobs. And I think at 11, I was at Covent Garden, like doing something in Covent Garden. She was okay with that. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Were your parents in the business?
No. My dad was a taxi driver, and my mom was a mom.
Yeah.
But my mom was like really well. She was like they were both sort of these English, like they were both very well read.
Okay.
Like my dad was Irish, and like he would spout poetry constantly. There was often a glass of whiskey involved, but yeah.
Nice.
And my mom was just very well read, and my brother is a surgeon, so it's not like it was a theatrical family at all.
Right. How did you find it on your own, or did they see some aptitude and say, do
yeah,
this?
I was kind of like a lot of little girls. I just liked to dance,
sure.
And then at 3, my you know my mom said, would you like to do this? She took me to a ballet class, and I said, I want to do this every day of my life. I basically said that.
Yeah.
Wow. And so that was that. Yeah. Yeah. And I did.
And that's a very, very astute three-year-old.
I probably was six when I said that. Okay. Maybe. I was a little further along the line.
I'd like to do this every day, please. That's so cute. Yeah.
She took me to see Swan Lake, and I said, I like to see this every day of my life. And then this woman sitting behind me said, oh, you'd get bored, darling. And I turned to her and I said, no, I wouldn't. Anyway, I had a much worse accent then, apparently.
So you a working actor at 11. And
yeah, but not much. I mean, right. Like, you know, I wasn't.
But it's experience. I mean, that's, yeah. That's
do any of those experiences stand out in those years?
Oh, God, yeah. It was fascinating. Yeah. I mean, like, when I was 13, I did a television show. It was The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie, and we were all these horrible little school children with Scottish accents.
How fun.
And I just remember, like, the woman who played Jean Brodie was gorgeous. Isla Blair, I think her name was. And she had this fantastic perfume, and I just remember thinking that she was, you know when yeah. you, when you're like young and you see like a woman and you're or when you see yeah. a man and you're like that look
the, right that
hero
right sure
your hero moment
and, yeah
and that was my hero moment yeah
wow and so your training encompassed dance and acting in that
yeah a little bit well the acting was never very good right. to say there was a lot of, could you just stand in the background? Yeah.
But a lot of classical training too, though, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, yeah, we did Shakespeare, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so was Cats the first life-changing job? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, I mean, because that was the first incarnation of it? Because you did
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, they developed it on us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And do you still feel connected to that
yeah.
phenomenon?
Sure.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit. I mean, like, I don't think about it every day.
Sure. Well, but, I think of the people that workshopped.
He does, apparently.
Well,
apparently.
The people that workshopped A Chorus Line. And granted, those characters
yeah,
are based on them. Right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
when you're in the forming process of something that has become just a part of, I mean,
let's not get too sweeping here.
Well, listen, no, but I'm a theater dummy. Because half the stuff you said of the wherever I was, the pa-pa-pa-pa, I'm like, I don't even know what the heck that is. But Cats, everybody knows Cats.
Everybody knows Cats.
Everybody.
Yeah.
They're going to make a live action about it. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I know.
Donald Glover's going to be in it. So.
That's cool.
Who yeah. is?
Donald Glover. No. He's doing Lion King. Sorry.
Yeah, he's playing Simba in Lion
yeah,
King.
Lion yeah, Lion King. Sorry. I got I got my two live actions mixed up.
Sure. Well, that could be creepy as hell.
Which one?
The live because well, so
live action Cats.
Live action Cats. Well, it's
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's the same person that did Les Mis.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, because like they said live action.
I don't know how you do live action Cats and not like be like, why are they wearing makeup?
Well, here's the thing. Did you see the preview for the live action Lion King?
No. What? No.
It's all computer. So it's not animated, but it's not Donald Glover in a lion costume.
Oh, so it's like CGI? So
yeah. It is, yeah. So it's basically like they did with Planet of the Apes. That the
right. Maybe it's motion capture. Maybe they're wearing. Maybe right. some of the expressions are taken from the actors. Well, but you're not. They're not recognizable.
Wouldn't
in
it be interesting if they just sort of did it like everybody? Well, because it was supposed to take place on the streets. Like you know, like Cats was like sort of
right.
Like if everybody was sort of homeless and they just put makeup on and they were just sort of weird and you know, and then they just sang all those songs and like had it take place down Skid Row down.
Yeah,
know.
Three people would see that.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, you could be in Bradford. He's working on Kittens right now.
Yeah,
it's going to be a smash hit.
It is. It's going to
his daughters
for a specific YouTube audience. It's going to be huge.
Yeah,
huge.
So, 1985, you get on General Hospital, and it's just crazy to me that I mean, there's so much history.
And that was Gloria Monty.
That was Gloria Monty.
Yes, Gloria Monty.
Gloria Monty hired me.
Did she?
Right before she left, yeah.
That's the coolest.
It's crazy.
So what did you think of, like, Gloria?
Dude, I came in here when I auditioned. First of all, the audition process was crazy because I've told this a million times, but Mark Teshner stuffed my shoes to be taller because Gloria was super. So we auditioned, like, seven times,
he
right?
stuffed your shoes?
Yeah, so.
With
so
what? With newspaper.
Three guys were left, and we were supposed to screen test, and we got denied. You know, it was Gloria was going late. She's like, "Oh, we don't have time. Tell them to come back tomorrow."
Come back
again.
Tomorrow.
We don't have time. Come back tomorrow. Again.
Did everybody do a Gloria impression?
I've never done one, but...
Tony can.
Yeah. So we finally get there for the screen test. And the guy who played AJ first was about 6'1". And Gloria said to Mark right before we screen test, she goes, I want everybody to look eye to eye, be able to look eye to eye to Gerald, who played AJ. Oh, and Mark's like, okay. So I think another guy was about 6 foot and one guy was super short, so he was dead. He was dead in the water. I mean, dead man was walking for sure. And then Mark was
walking
like,
in heels.
Like, Steve, come here. Like he's like, I go, what? He goes, come in the bathroom. I go,
oh, God bless
Mark.
I
said, Mark, I don't like going in the bathroom with
Mark
men,
is
but
the
okay.
Best.
So,
the best.
So he's like, we got to stuff your shoes.
And like, I don't even know what that means. Is that a euphemism? Wait a minute.
That's what I said to him. I go, dude, I don't want the job that bad. No, but
I know this is Hollywood.
I know. This is the casting bathroom?
Yes.
So we had I had my Doc Martens on, and he's like, we need to stuff your shoes. You need to be 6'1", like, now. I go, okay. So we stuffed him. Sure enough, I grew
a whole inch.
2 inches. Oh, no, it was like 2 inches. So I'm like,
nice,
you know. And then it's we don't have a screen test. She goes, okay, it's a 5. Come down. Just have them look at each other in the eyes. Turn around back to back. You know, kind of like 1 minute. Wow. And we ended up doing it. And I got the job. Mark said, Steve, stay. You got the job. Great. Because it was recurring. It wasn't even a contract.
No.
At the time, and
just try on the sweater, see if it fits.
But but when I got here for my first day, it was a late call because you guys went so late all the time.
All the time.
And my first introduction is I walk through this door here, and Tony Geary kicks this door open like a bat out of hell. Just he was having a bad day or something happened, and he kicked that thing open, and I was like, well, here I am on General Hospital. This is awesome. And I was just like, I'm just going to go hide in my room and not do anything. But it was crazy to come in, to see how things are done now and after that.
Oh, yeah.
To see how, you know, the mad genius, Gloria Monty, at work.
She was a genius.
She was a genius. It was crazy. And I know you were here during the times,
yeah.
The decade of, you know.
It was incredible.
It was incredible.
But I think that, you know, a lot of us who worked with her, we kind of have this like real thing about it's professionalism. It's like a real, like, you know, you just kind of get into it because she really wanted it to come from a real place.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we were doing, even if we were doing crazy things,
yeah,
it all had to be from a real place. And she would always kind of do that. She'd do this thing. It's gonna come from here, darling.
That's awesome.
Hey, buddy, let's talk about FabFitFun. How about that? So my wife, she told me about this about a year and a half ago because a friend of hers got her a FabFitFun box. They're seasonal subscription boxes with not just trial size, but full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products.
Yes, buddy, that's for sure. The great thing is that it retails for $49.99. But it always has a value of $200 because my wife got a box.
She got a box. She got
she
a
got
box.
Box.
She got the
box. There's some good stuff in there.
Oh my!
And she loved it. It was actually our last Christmas present that we opened.
Oh, that is so sweet.
We were by the fireplace. She loved it, and then of course Brooklyn took everything. My 4-year-old took everything.
It was sounding pretty. It was sounding pretty romantic up until that point.
I know. It's always romantic until the 4-year-old steps in.
Yeah, right. So my wife had gotten one of these about a year and a half ago, and it like she told me about it, and so to now have it come back into our lives is so cool. So the Winter's Editor Box is what we got. It's available now. You got to sign up before they sell out. And if you use coupon code AWESOME, you'll get $10 off your first box at fabfitfun.com. That's awesome for $10 off your first box at fabfitfun.com. And it's a seasonal box, so it's going to, I mean, it's Christmas time right now, but it's going to feel like Christmas 4 times a year is what it's going to feel like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is an awesome code, by the way.
I know. Isn't it awesome?
Yes, it is.
Some of the products, skincare from Glam Glow, Kate Somerville, Dr. Brandt, Anthropology, which my wife loves. Now, I don't know what your wife was excited about from this box, but my wife loved the Bite Beauty Amuse Bouche lipstick
and the Ahava Hydration Cream Mask. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the cream was the stuff right
there. Cream
so.
Mask. Yeah. So that's anyway, FabFitFun.com, code AWESOME for $10 off your first box. Bring some FabFitFun into your life.
Awesome.
Crazy things back then.
The heyday. What was going on in the heyday?
Like what was crazy stories?
Yeah. Do you have any that stick out? Because I know you guys went on location, right?
Oh, the location was fun.
Where'd you guys go?
Well, we went to, Santa Barbara one time, which isn't so crazy. And we went to some cannery, and we went to Catalina Island, maybe a couple of times there, and Charlotte, North Carolina.
Really?
Why Charlotte? Was it to be somewhere else? Like, it wasn't supposed to be Charlotte, right?
If it was supposed to be Charlotte or not. There's lots of details that are that I don't remember from that period.
Because, any specific reason?
Because we were doing so much.
Okay, it wasn't because of hanging out with Tony.
But then we were doing so much that it's like sometimes I look, like people throw things up on Twitter or whatever, and I look at a scene and I'm in the scene.
Right.
And I'm like, I have no recollection. I know that was not me. I don't remember doing that.
Wow.
I can't remember.
I mean,
you've
done
so much volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we went to Canada. Going to Canada was a funny one because that was when we were doing the Asian storyline that we won a lot of awards for. Not me specifically, but the show won a lot of awards for. And so we were going up to Vancouver to shoot in their Chinatown.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody forgot the fact that, you know, I'm like a British citizen. Whoops. So we get to the border. And this is 1987, maybe. And, you know, it's not so strict as it is now.
Sure.
And I can't go through because I don't have the papers or anything. And Gloria, like there was a producer back here back then who was just very sweet. And she's like tearing him apart limb from limb, but verbally, verbally.
Yeah.
And you can see like pieces of his flesh falling on the ground. And she's like, "You make this work. You get her across that border now."
and I'm
standing there like, I have no clue. I'm like,
"Oh, you were." This was all happening in front of you. It wasn't on the phone or something.
We're there
at the border,
right?
That's what the border is.
Well, no. I wasn't sure if she called somebody and said, "Why didn't you fix?"
No, I'm watching it. I'm here.
Right.
And the whole cast and crew are like the other side.
You guys obviously flew up, so you're just waiting to get through customs.
They're gone. I'm the only one.
You're the only one left.
And I remember not panicking at all. I wasn't panicked. I don't know. I was just sort of.
Well, the queen's on the money. Why can't they let you in?
Well, I think then in the end that was sort of like the finagling. It was kind of like she's sort of Canadian.
Right. And they were like, come on in.
Yeah.
Sure. Like come on in. Yeah. We'll let
That's right. Because so Americans could just cross the border back and forth. But,
I believe so.
But people that that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. And
well, clearly nobody else did either.
Well, yeah. Right. Exactly. But you'd think the Canadians would be somewhat warm to their protectorate. Maybe
I'm not sure that it works like that, but yeah.
Did you go to? I know they shot up in Rochester. Did you shoot up there?
Maybe.
Okay. Would you like to continue the podcast?
But you never went. Like, I mean, Jeannie and Tony went to Europe and stuff. Did you ever?
Yeah.
Did you ever do any of those?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think I could. I think because I wasn't.
No, she was stuck with Tristan.
He didn't go anywhere.
He was like, "I'm not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere." Wait, I did go a few places with Tristan. Oh, we did the whole thing in Santa Barbara, which was supposed to look like Italy.
Yeah.
And it kind of does.
Sure.
And we did the whole sort of, you know, kissing on the beach type thing that's like from here to eternity sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Did that.
Dude, it was
I want to kiss on the beach.
Right? Rolling in the waves.
I'll take you to New York.
I don't
know. We were just on the beach.
You're going to go to the Rockaways.
I want a Pacific kiss. I don't want an Atlantic kiss.
Wow.
Atlantic beaches are too rocky.
They're
not
the
same. As comfy.
It's the same.
That's funny.
Wow. And in terms of that was. Did GH always have. Like, because we've talked about the difference between certain soaps where GH was maybe the more.
Darker.
Or, yeah, not as. I don't want to say realistic, but we didn't have as crazy of storylines. But back in the 80s, you had some crazy storylines.
Ice Princess is pretty crazy.
That's yeah, true. Can you explain what that is to me?
You know what? It was right before I got here. Literally, it was
just... Oh, okay, because I have no idea what the Ice Princess is.
It was thawing, and I didn't know.
So it was a person thawing?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't really know the story.
This is funny, because I have no idea. I keep hearing...
Like, I don't either.
The Ice Princess, I go... What, did someone thaw out and then there's a princess?
I don't know.
Or is it a relic that
I don't
thawed
know.
Out that
but
caused
I know
mayhem?
Faison came out of that story. Like,
ooh,
but,
I love
like, later.
Faison.
I know, I do too.
Oh, he's such an awesome
he's
guy.
Good.
Well, I'm sure we'll all get a thorough explanation on social media. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that they will.
No, we'll airs. Get, how could you not know what the Ice Princess is? That's what we're going to get.
Yeah, I know.
And we're not going to get anything but that.
That's right.
And that's okay.
Was that, no, because Elizabeth Taylor was the original Helena. Right?
Okay.
But, right.
I love someone who is just as uninformed as myself. Thank you, Finola.
You're welcome.
But she wasn't the Ice Princess. I don't know. I kind of see her in like a turban with a gem in the front or something.
I think that's just Saturday.
That's just
that's a Saturday afternoon
that's
at the pool.
A lovely look. Yeah. Actually, I would really like, I just want to look like Elizabeth Taylor. I just want to wear like.
Who doesn't?
Like, you know, caftans and a turban and just call it a day.
Yes.
You know, and just like go to Palm Springs and live there.
Oh, he'll be wife.
I'm going to Palm Springs tomorrow.
Husband number 12.
Well, I don't mean like tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, one day.
We're going for an Irish dance competition.
Does your daughter do Irish dancing?
She sure does.
She does. Yeah.
Yeah.
With
yeah, yeah.
a name
so we're going,
like
we're
that,
we're
she should win.
We're going to the Fesh.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah
I can
yeah.
do. I can Irish dance.
Yeah?
Sure.
Did anyone
I've forgotten now, but yeah.
Did any of your Irish family ever insist that your name is Fionnuala instead of Finola?
Yeah, when I would go to Ireland, because we would go every year, obviously, because for the summer and stuff. Yeah, everybody called me Fionnuala. Fionnuala.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'd be like, well, I think it's Finola. But far be it for me, because you're two Guinnesses in, so I'm going with that.
Well, because when our little Finola started Irish dancing, her Irish dance
was it because
teacher,
of this Finola?
In part.
Yes. In part,
oh,
yes.
God.
That's very nice.
So nice.
So your next kid's going to name Steve.
Steve, yeah.
Thanks.
No, we're going to name our next dog Steve.
Yeah. Oh, man. Whoa. Wow.
Steve the
it's
dog.
A good name. It's a good name for a dog. It's a good name for
if
a dog.
If I hated you at all, I hate you more. Steve the dog?
But it's a good name for a dog. Doesn't anybody think that?
Steve? Yeah.
That would actually be good if you had two dogs named Steve and Brad.
I know.
Brad, come here, Brad. You're so stupid. This guy, he just found that so funny.
Oh, I loved it so much.
That he's going to be laughing for hours. Look at him. He can't even control himself. If you could produce real tears like that on daytime, you'd be here more. All right. Can we talk to our guest?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But our Irish dance teacher assumed her name was Fionnuala.
Yeah.
So it's something we've come up with.
I could never spell it the proper way
well, there's
that
so many
Fionnuala,
more letters.
So it's
so
crazy. And what about those Irish names like Siobhan and you know, Saoirse? And like they're not even spelled remotely like they might sound.
Well, absolutely. It's funny.
Crazy.
How is Fionnuala spelled?
Fionnuala.
Yeah.
Wow.
It goes on and on. That's Fionnuala.
Yeah.
S-T-
E-V-E.
Yeah.
Really easy.
It is easy. Yeah. There's no mistaking that. Though you could go to some countries and they could be like, Steve.
Yeah. Right. That could be. That's true.
But you're right. No, the Siobhan with a B.
Yeah.
And
Ayoban.
Saoirse with no... with just an I.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We when they were shooting Lady Bird in Sacramento, Saoirse Ronan, we spent some time with her. And she has a whole song that she sings to explain... people,
her name,
and
it's
she did it on late night. It's very cute, but imagine trying to explain spelling one of those names. Yeah, so Fionnuala is so much.
Now, did people call her Finn?
She when she was younger, we thought that that's where it would go, and then Juna started calling her Noli.
Nola, oh yeah,
or Noli, and then so we were like, that's so cute. And then when she started talking, she's like, my name's Fionnuala. And so now.
I love her.
So
now it's Fionnuala.
Yeah, there is no shortening of it.
She'll be addressed
as Fionnuala. The only one that can shorten it is her little 2-year-old cousin, Claire, who calls her Noah. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say it's very interesting. Like my whole life, I've never hardly met anyone that has my name.
Sure.
Like literally, and right. She will too. Like right. there's nobody. As far as I know, there's one other person in America, and she's a producer. Her name's Finola Dwyer.
Okay.
And I've never met her.
Right.
And I've met your daughter.
But, right.
So, yeah, she'll probably go through her whole life unless she goes to Ireland, and then they're on every corner.
Right.
It's like McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
funny. So when's the first time that you – because you've come and gone a few times.
Yeah.
Right.
I
and
know.
What was the first stretch was how – like you were here for how many years before you decided to
– I was here 7 and then I left for
– 7 is a good
– Yeah.
There's a whole 7-year itch thing.
Right.
That doesn't relate to working on a daytime show.
No.
But
– I don't know. Yeah. I got another show is what happened. It was actually an ABC show. And so I went and did that. And so I think I was probably gone – until so if I left in 91
was that for Charmed? No.
No, it was Jack's Place. It was called Jack's Place.
Okay.
And so if I left in 91 I didn't go back to daytime until 99.
Okay.
So I never went to college, so I'm presuming that's 8 years maybe.
Yeah, that's 8 years, but we shouldn't overlook your episode of Love Boat.
Oh, ooh. I did do that. Were you on it too?
I was Captain Stuber, whatever his name is.
You were the purser.
So, because, you know, Love Boat I grew up with.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but that was a different Love Boat, though. Wasn't this the new Love Boat?
Were you on the new Love Boat?
Yeah, I was on the new Love Boat.
Oh, did that shoot here, too?
Pardon? Yeah.
Did it shoot here? Everything
yeah.
shot here? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so why? You've got nothing to say now?
No.
Okay.
Well, especially if it's the new one. I didn't know.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't like the new. I mean, is there another new one?
No, but wasn't that
was it
just
original?
On like 20 years?
I don't know. Was it the original? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just know that yeah.
Okay, thanks. Moving on. So you came back in 99.
But I went to All My Children.
Oh, right.
As the same character.
Different as her sister, the twin sister. The
no.
Alex. But we didn't know that it was a twin sister. I didn't.
What
they
was the name?
Alex.
Did the writers know or did it just...
Well, it was like I played it like I was pretending to be somebody else, but it was really Anna.
Okay.
And then they were like, can you stop doing that?
That's funny.
So, and so then I did stop doing that. And because they didn't know what they wanted to do. And then I had my first child. And they called me when, you know, I was sort of just about to come back after being off. And they said, oh, you're going to come back. And you're going to be playing twins. We've decided to bring Anna back. And I was like, oh, good God, I'm getting 1 hour of sleep a night, and now I'm going
to
be playing twins.
Double the work.
Yeah.
But some extra money because you get two checks, right?
I've heard that. It's sort of time and a half. It's like it used to be you get double checks, but
right.
then David Canary was on our show too, and I think
they
sort of figured out where
how to get around
yeah,
that.
We're gonna, yeah, so yeah. It was like time and a half kind of thing.
I see.
But it was still
yeah,
you
it's
know,
great.
A bump.
Sure, why not?
And but David Canary had it down. Me, I was just crap. I was just like, I was like, one's wearing a ponytail and one isn't. I'm going with that.
Was it a side pony?
Yeah, it was just so you could just notice. So I thought, I figured an 80s side pony would be perfect.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's how we tell the difference.
That's it.
Yeah. That's all you need.
That's all. It was a pony.
That's
that was
good.
My pony acting.
I love it.
I had nothing. I had nothing.
Well,
like, I
mean,
dug deep and there was like zero.
You had a brand new baby.
Yeah, that's how deep I could dig. I was like, I have an hour's sleep
I can't imagine.
Yeah. I remember sitting, and just thinking, I can't do this.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three boys?
I have two boys and a girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
What ages?
18, 14, and 11.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're the best. They're fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
They're like they're just so, you know, like there's these human beings living in your house and you're like, how'd they get here? they eat so much.
I'm like what did we do?
I know. And I can't, like, I looked at my daughter the other day and she's just this sort of, you know, she's walking around, loose limbed, long hair. And I'm like, what do I do with you? This is a lot of responsibility.
No
and
kidding.
I never thought about that. I'm like, oh, it'd be so nice to have a baby. And like now I have a full human being. I'm like, what do I do? It's like these human beings and they look to you. They think we know what we're doing.
Oh,
and
gosh.
They sort of want us to kind of step up. And I'm like, you boy, you are that, that You're asking too
especially
much.
Especially the mom.
That's why you send them to college so that
I
they
got it.
That's so other kids can raise them.
We bring it right yeah. back to that.
Right.
Yes.
That's funny. I know, man. It's really it's tough. It's with older kids. It's like because my wife is constantly up doing homework.
Oh yeah.
I mean the homework's ridiculous. First
it's
of all,
so much.
But I'm like, come on. It's like I don't even see my wife. I'm home. She's like, oh, I got to do this paper with McKenna. It's an hour and a half. You know, and then Jack last night was, you know, he waited to the last minute because kids never do that.
Procrastinate.
And, you know, he was all stressed out.
That's all I learned from school was procrastination, by the way.
100%. And yeah. Cramming, of course.
That's why I don't like Sundays because I was like, oh, homework.
I know. It's just crazy. You're just like, what did we have kids. This is like never going to end now that I have a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
It's
you're
never
in
going
it.
To
end.
Oh, yeah. No, you're.
You,
yeah.
you have many years ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. Many years of just living homework. For them.
Yes.
That's all it is. I mean, you give up your life.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, which is, it's great because you want to. As a parent, you're like, I'll do anything for you guys. I'm doing everything for you guys. I work for you. I'm doing everything for you guys, you know, which is amazing. But it gets to be
but
a lot.
They don't tell you that in the hospital when they hand you the bundle.
I know.
They don't say, no. Oh, by the way, it's over.
Yeah, by the way, you're screwed. Oh, you want a third one? You're really screwed.
once they outnumber you, you're like
oh,
done.
Man.
You're like you just
especially
done.
With the teenagers and guys are a little different. But is he dating yet or is
yeah,
he a girl?
He
oh.
has a wonderful girlfriend.
Oh, good.
She's so lovely.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And but you know he's always like I'm out.
Was that tough for you?
No,
not at all.
No.
Yeah. When he's 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's he. You really have to let go a little bit.
Well. Well, I figured more like, you know, 35 I might have.
Right.
Yeah. But no, he – like at 13, he sort of had a girlfriend. He's like – you know, he's said he liked a girl at school. And so, you know, this – but this girl is so nice. I mean, I think if, you know, if I didn't like her so much – but even then, I think I'd be like, well, you got to learn your lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're really sweet.
It's awesome.
When I first – I feel like the first time I met you – was at an award show, and you were on the red carpet hosting for the Style Network?
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of stuff for the Style Network.
Yeah. When did that come about? Because is that a whole separate...
I'll tell you exactly why that happened.
Okay, great.
That happened because my contract with all my children was to finish up and come here.
Oh.
And somebody came in and decided that that wasn't going to happen. So I didn't have a job. And so when I was in New York, I was, so in the fashion, like, you know, cause you're right there in the fashion world and you're like, oh my gosh.
Just as an enthusiast or as a participant
yeah.
or like.
As a shopper. As a
shopping.
Consumer.
Yeah,
of
as
fashion.
A straight up consumer. Fair enough.
And, you know, Fashion Week happened there and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I kept going to the Style Network and I kept saying, I've written a show. And I would do like these full boards of like this and this, and they'd be like, "Yeah, and thank you," and I did that like 3 times.
Yeah,
and I said, "Okay, so how about this way?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe this way."
Sure.
And I kept taking these meetings, and they were like, "You know what? We don't like any of your ideas, but we're launching a new show in LA, and maybe you'd like to host it." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." So when I came back here. And I couldn't come back to General Hospital because, you know, Canvas was too full or whatever. And I went and did that other job. And then, so I did that for 4 years.
Okay. What was the name of that show?
How Do I Look?
Okay. And so you hosted a show for 4 years. And how many episodes? Like was that like?
Bazillions.
It was.
We did two seasons a year.
Jeez. So it was pretty much year round?
Well, no, we'd have a season and then another season.
Oh, okay,
Like they'd order some and then order more and whatever. And
did you enjoy the hosting part of it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
The red carpet, not so much because
sure.
it's difficult because you've got somebody in your ear and
right.
like it's, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of responsibility.
What are they saying? Here comes
so
and so.
Yeah.
Make sure you ask
and now
about
rub
his...
your stomach and pat your head and yeah, and yeah. So
right.
So, but I could do it.
Yeah.
You know.
So did you have the personality where I mean you have a great personality?
No, I didn't have the personality to do it.
Yeah,
oddly,
because it's not only having the personality, but it's also being able to sustain what you're doing and turn it on when you have to.
I look back on some of those tapes and I'm like, oh, my God, you're manic. Like, that's crazy because I was like because you had to bring energy and I I think I'm a little bit more dour. Like, I like more, you know, like
serious,
sarcastic. Like,
yeah.
And you know, people don't want that. You know, it's like they want, you know. I mean, I couldn't do what somebody like Joan did, for example, and she was like the queen of it. And,
sure.
And but she, her brain is just, she's a comedian.
Right.
And I think you need that sort of,
you have to,
you know,
have that switch too of being just,
and I think that I just you know, but I did it, you know, I managed. And but I look back and I'm like, yeah, I was just tap dancing. But I, you know, I did it for 4 years, and then they kept wanting, now then they were like, oh, actually we'd like you to come back and do some stuff. And I was like, well, I couldn't because I was working. So then,
yeah.
So I didn't work out, and you know, I just couldn't come back for a long time.
So when you were on All My Children and you had your first, were you always looking to come back here? Did you have?
My husband wanted to come back to California.
Right.
Yeah.
And were you always?
So I was there for 4 years.
Okay.
In New York.
When did? Because I mean, you live up by Santa Barbara now. Is that a fairly? Was that in your sights back then? Or
no, not really.
No.
I mean, it was an idea.
Yeah.
But you know, you have these ideas, and they seem sort of acquisitional, maybe. But and then when we had our second child, it was like, we thought it would be a nice idea, and then we decided to have a third, and that's when I took 3 years off because I was like, "Wait a minute,
yeah,
this is not working." Yeah.
Time out.
Yeah, this is not like
this is tough. Mm-mm. Yeah.
So, and that second break was the late 2000s.
Yeah, I suppose it was. So if I was, oh my god, I don't even know. So 2003, probably I got back out here, and
yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2007, 8, 9, 10. I think I got back on here like 2011.
Yeah, because so I remember when I first came, I think you had just left. And it was about 3 years. I started in late 2006. And then, because you weren't here,
no.
But I was at an event with, I think, Kimberly and Jason. And that, and so like seeing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, seeing you. Yeah, it was. Anyway, and
he's getting impatient. I see the Russian
gangster. Yeah. Oh, I'm not at all.
So
no, like because you just mentioned Kimberly, so I thought we'd talk about.
Let's talk about
awesome Kimberly.
Yeah.
Like, how about Kimberly?
Well,
she's just directed the Conners.
She's like
twice.
A big director
twice.
Now.
Huge.
It's watching
she's just
that
taking off. It's fantastic.
She's doing great, and the
it's
great
like
thing
amazing.
About it is seeing her hard work pay off.
Yeah.
Because she's been working her ass
off
for a long time to get, I mean, mm-hmm. look, she's getting great breaks because she's good at what she
she's
does.
She's good at what
absolutely.
She does.
You know,
she earned it.
And she totally did.
She earned
and
it.
She's a grinder,
she
man.
She went to AFI way back, all those years
she
ago.
She did like some kind of tutorial. I mean, she did
well, she did the ABC, the director's program here.
Yeah. She started shadowing here. Then she did, because I remember going from hearing her talk about it to then seeing her shadow here, to then seeing her do the, I don't think it's the apprentice program, but it's the
ABC
directorial.
Yeah.
Program. And then it, you know, from start to finish, like, and now she's doing this stuff, and it's incredible.
Yeah,
it
it's
is.
Awesome.
It is.
But
awesome. I think she's coming to us for Christmas.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, good.
Because she lives right near us.
Yeah.
Oh, like I thought you meant back here.
Just down the mountain.
Oh, no.
On the show. I'm like, come on.
No.
If it snowed, she could sled to your house.
Yeah, she could sled to my house.
Yeah.
actually, I'd love it to snow.
Wouldn't
but,
it be
so I think we're going to spend
that relationship as, I mean,
isn't
you
cool?
You had Kimberly before you had kids, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that must have, God, the feelings about protecting this young actress, like, what is that like? Having,
yeah, it was exactly that.
Yeah,
it was. You know, I wanted I know you feel the same about the children that you work with on the show. You want them to have a positive experience on that set and upstairs, and you know, and there weren't quite the boundaries that there are now.
Right.
You know, we had a lot of like very large personalities working on the show back then, you know. Things like can spiral and people can say things and, you know, it needed to be a safe environment. And and we had a lot of fun, like me and Tris, we'd have a lot of fun with this little girl because she was bright as all get out.
Yeah.
And could improvise with us because Tristan never stuck to the script at all. So he never really knew what was going to happen.
Were there ever some days where you're like, dude, just say the words?
Well, I kind of, like, yes and no.
Sure.
You know, it was like, I didn't mind because it made you really think. Like, you'd have to, like just talk. And Kimberly was right there with us.
Yeah. That's impressive.
You know,
yeah.
And she, you can see it if you look at those old tapes. Like the pair of us are like, oh, what's he going
to
say?
Well, because you can't pretend to listen. You actually have to listen.
You have to listen.
It does put right. you in the moment.
Yeah, it's for
it
sure.
Does
so
change,
in the
it does change the game. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
And we would go off on rants and then come back to like the actual plot.
That's what
and problem
that's
solving what, on the spot. That's kind of
yeah,
fun. It keeps you engaged,
just go back
right? Yeah.
And like sometimes, and I would have to think. I would have to think. How can I word my next sentence so that it actually comes back to what I need to say?
That's what. That's right. what and, I would do with Maurice.
Oh, right.
Because he'd go off on a whole thing, and I'd go, okay, how am I going to get back into this? And yeah, I'm going to have yeah. to.
And you
too. Yeah, we get back in.
Yeah, and you
it's,
can do it.
It's pretty fun,
yeah.
though.
Now they stop.
Now they stop. They yeah. go, what are you doing?
Yeah. Right. But then yeah. We would like shoot. And also the other thing, the cameras, Tristan would never stick to blocking. Like, and he would stand
<That's amazing. laughs>
on random moments and walk.
Right.
And you'd see the cameras going, oh, shit. You know, and they'd yeah. be like sort of buckling around and like moving. And you can't move those things fast.
No.
Those pedestal cameras.
Especially back then.
How did they get the pedestal camera on the beach?
Stupid.
can you imagine
Nobby tires
on someone's
just,
shoulder?
Nobby
tires.
Dale with his like his pants rolled up. Trying
yeah,
to, like,
it was yeah. Well, this grit is really difficult to move.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh my
anyway,
goodness.
So,
when she was more integrated into story than any kid that I see on daytime now. Mm. Like she was. I mean, granted, I haven't watched a.
Yeah,
whole...
she had the journey of being a kid to being an adult on a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is crazy.
But, you know, some of the kids that are on the show now that are of that same age group are sprinkled in, but they're not always...
No, whole stories yeah. were made about her.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
We had a huge story. That
huge.
Was one of my biggest stories.
Right, but
her.
she was a teenager. You guys were teenagers
yeah,
at that point.
That
yeah.
was a massive story. That yeah. was such a turning point in this show.
It was a big story. It was a big story. And that was really my first real location. We went to Malibu. We were supposed to be up in Long Island somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
So it was great.
Those,
it was awesome working
palm
with her.
Trees in Long
and
Island.
It's great now when she comes back because we have such a great relationship
yeah.
where it's just so fun. And I said, would it be weird if I hooked up with your mom on the show? She's like, no, it's fine.
She's very open-minded.
Just kidding. Finn, who Michael Leeson plays Finn, he should be careful because I'm coming for him.
Yes.
Yes,
I
isn't
hold.
That nice though about this show? Like the opportunity to work and have partnerships with people. You know, I know you have a different kind of partnership
sure.
with Mo and like with different people that you work with, and the relationships and you know how long we work with each other.
Yeah,
it's really such a extraordinary part of this job.
It is. It really is because we never really worked together, you and I, until.
Right.
I came
never.
Back and we actually had some really great stuff and I always yeah. look forward to it. And then it's funny because I'm the biggest fan of McBain. I want Michael Easton to play McBain again.
Oh, I know.
So bad. That because was the... it's like, you know, because poor PCPD, but they never have any clout.
No.
Sure.
But he would have brought the clout.
But he did. When we worked yes. together as McBain, he and I worked together, he did because there was almost this mutual respect that you had to have for him being McBain, because McBain was, you know, he'd cross the line and do some stuff too.
Yeah.
So it was this interesting thing. So I'm like, just bring McBain back.
And the rights are free now.
The
right?
rights are free. I was
yeah.
like, Frank McBain, bring McBain back.
But then how would that work, Steve?
I don't know.
Like, what would we do about Finn?
I know. The poor guy's played 19 characters in the last 7 months. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But he would love it. I know he would.
I know.
And he thought I was joking. He thought I was like pulling his leg for the whole day. And because I was like, dude, you got to bring McBain back. They gotta
oh,
bring...
yeah.
He was like, shut up.
Oh, he thought you.
He
oh,
thought
I
was giving him a hard time. I go, yeah. He goes, you're serious. I go, yeah, I'm serious. McBain is one of the coolest characters on daytime, man.
Do you know, when he was leaving, like I was so upset because I used to, because Anna worked with McBain too.
Right,
apparently
right.
Anna was supposed to be like sort of one of his mentors at the FBI or something was the sort of backstory because we pretended we knew each other.
Right.
Whereas I hadn't ever met him before.
Right.
I went up to Frank and I was distraught about McBain going. I think I cried. And I was like, you can't. And I said to Frank, why don't you do this? Why don't you just have him leave and have him open a like do Jason Bourne, like have him open a locker and take out a bunch of passports and just flick through them and so then, you know, he can come back as another character, but he would still be the same person.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Right? And because and you know, Frank was like, okay, thanks. Sure. Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah. You stick to your job.
Yeah.
What if the underlying character was still McBain? I wonder if someone could have sued. That's interesting, though, because that, yeah, well.
Yeah, they couldn't. No. I don't think they would be that. Think about it that much.
Yeah.
It's a different name.
No, so
he's
you
bored.
And,
I can see he's
no,
bored.
No, she's hurting her back, and no, this my guy, fine. This guy will talk for 5 hours.
I like stuff.
No, I know you do. But
I'm
good gosh.
I'm not that interesting.
No, like, you are.
No,
it's disagree.
Like this. But this, I have to cut him off because okay. He'll go forever.
Okay.
And you're taking a nap right now with your eyes open. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, go ahead. Do you have one final question for the lovely?
What was it going to be?
Finola Hughes.
No,
make it a good one.
It doesn't
one.
Look like it was a final question.
I was.
What was it?
Your final answer.
Well, I was going to ask because you've been in the Robert and Anna thing, like the power couples, if you will. Like I don't know. There is something about having that partnership with somebody, and I mean, are Finn and Anna are they that? Do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I think it's a different time too.
I hope so. I mean, I think we're set. I mean, I think that, you know, like finally we sort of got something that's, you know, we can sort of work on, hopefully, you know, so.
And I was going to ask, Heinrich, I was going to ask,
his name's Peter.
Peter.
Right.
Peter Heinrich.
He is your son in theory.
Yeah.
Right. He's dating my girl, and
what do you want me to do?
Of course, there had to be.
But that's my goddaughter, though, so yeah. I'm like, okay.
It always comes back to him somehow.
Yes, it is.
Always.
Is there something you can do?
What do you want?
Put your mother's wisdom and just say she's not the girl for you.
I can't say that though, because she's my goddaughter, and I love her, and so you know.
Right. So do something good for her and tell.
Get rid of Heinrich.
I mean,
Peter.
He's too tall.
He is a striking man. That's for
so
sure.
We'll have to put paper
just,
in.
If you just help me out, I appreciate.
Yeah, those.
That.
So those are the those. I mean, you have so much Emmy stuff.
What Emmy stuff? Oh yeah,
you have so much Emmy stuff.
The deadline's tomorrow. I heard. So get on.
Is it tomorrow? I thought it was today.
I don't. Well, who knows? They always extend. It's always like, oh, it's today, but you have one more week.
I know. I have to look through all my.
I know.
Tapes.
It's amazing.
Have you looked through yours yet?
I have none.
Oh, you haven't.
I have none.
Oh, you have none?
I don't really have anything. I mean, I kind of. No, I'm not really looking.
Oh, you're not?
No. I feel.
It's hard in the first year, right?
No, I feel that, honestly, it's this weird thing because for me, I know I should be in leading, but. The time I was here, I'd always go and I did do lead a few times, but supporting because I never had a full show because I'd always be the guy traveling from set to set.
Yeah.
So I'd have like three good scenes and then I'd have three scenes in a bush looking at Helena. You know what I mean? So it was this weird thing where like you're a lead, you work a lot, but you don't have – I never had – you know, Tony always had a full show. Maurice always had a full show. I never had until I was with Kimberly way back then. That's when I had a full show. But it was just, I don't know, it's this weird thing. That being said, I just feel that Maurice and Max Gale did such phenomenal work this year that I don't really want to muddy the waters.
Gotcha. I know.
Yeah. Without having something fantastic.
Right, right.
It's just, why even bother? I mean, if honestly, if Max Gale doesn't win.
No, he has to.
It's just not even, it's like. It's rigged.
Yeah.
It's completely rigged.
Yeah.
If this guy does not win an Emmy.
No, he has to.
And the same with Maurice. I feel that
it's
such a groundbreaking story.
And Laura too, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. Like last year, how could Laura, Maura, Nancy, whoever was in that category not win?
That was
crazy talk.
Yeah, that was
not to
crazy.
Take away from the winner, but no. I see, you know. Anyway,
I know. So. I know. I think it was Laura. I had her leg. I was grabbing her leg last year. The Emmys. I was like, I didn't know what happened.
Well, the highlight for me was actually sitting next to Michael Easton. it was the best highlight.
I have a photograph from that night. And your photobombing Like very owl in the background. Like kind of...
Mr. Owl. Yeah, it was amazing. Okay. But so.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you. This
we
is,
love you,
we're
and
so
I love you.
Yeah,
and
grateful
I'm
that
a huge fan of yours, and you're an amazing woman, and you are just awesome.
True delight.
She is.
Sense.
She is.
Oh, well, you know.
And Bradford's.
Well, you guys, I love that you've got a podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, we're moving on up in the world.
Thanks for classing us up.
Yeah.
Okay. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, we didn't have many toilet humor jokes this time around because we had so we had to
elevate.
Yeah, elevate.
Thank you. Go back to college. Thanks, Bradford.
God, I love her.
Wow.
Love her.
She's so awesome, man.
She is so awesome. She's one of the coolest people.
Totally.
I know.
Just everything about her is great.
Well, and the breadth of experience that she's had and the level of she's down to earth, but in like such a she carries all that experience with her, but she's still super humble and she's just worldly and cool.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's a perfect description.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to have her today.
Yeah. You know, because you even asked, you know, did we name our daughter after her? And not directly, you know, it was a family name that my wife has always loved. And, you know, but one of the things that came up was like, okay, well, people are going to ask this.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, if people assume that we did, we were like, great.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, what an incredible woman. We admire her so much. So if people think we named our daughter after her.
Amazing.
So it kind of worked out like, so it kind of feels like in a way we did because we talked about it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she was so... She was so sweet when Finola was born. She got her this little pillow that said Finola on it. And like, she's just been so wonderful. And I feel tied to her in a really cool way.
So let's talk about your new dog named Steve. Why do you look so crazy today? Dude, your hair's out of control.
Is my hair a mess?
Well, it looks actually pretty good because the headphones like...
They tamp it down?
Pushed it down, yeah. Is that your stone cold look?
That's my stone cold look.
No biting the lip. No biting the lip, dude. So are you going to get a new dog? Are you trying not to get a new dog?
So my dog is getting older. My dog is getting older, and they need to put him under for the teeth extraction. And I don't know if no teeth is bothering him. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if like. Because they say it's kind of risky because he's old. You know, it's kind of risky because he's old. And so here's the thing. Am I a terrible dad? Am I a terrible doggy dad if I don't pay the $3,000 to do it? Because he could die while he does it? Or it's a hard thing. So I have thought about what comes after my little Yorkie dies. And my next dog is going to be... a beagle named Steve. Steve the beagle.
No, you're not getting a beagle, dude. They howl too much.
Oh, you That's howl?
No.
I've seen you howl.
I might have howled.
Yeah.
Once. All right, let's quit wasting these people's time.
All right. Well, thank you guys for hanging around with us in Finola.
Yeah, it was amazing. Thank you guys so much. We're so grateful.
We're excited for 2019. We got so much going on, man.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, do we ever have so much going on in 2019?
Before the spilled champagne gets too sticky on the floor, Steve and I will be in Charlotte. To start,
I didn't know where you were going with that, but okay.
within a week we're starting our January tour: Charlotte, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, West Palm Beach, Miami.
Yeah, that's a good
straight
run right
away.
There.
It's awesome.
Oh, it's so good. So everything's at StoneColdAndTheJekyll.com. We have so many things happening. It's amazing, and it's awesome to come out on the road and see you guys. Thank you guys,
and thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Bradford.
Yes.
What accent is that?
Just
for me.
It's just me. It's
no,
just
my
me.
Accent.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I can't do any accents.
Foreign guy Steve.
Hello. Let's see. Hey.
That's Maurice. That's
hey, Maurice. Hey, I can't do any accents. My friend. I can't do any.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.